B&E.
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
It is a Tuesday on B&E. Appreciate you being there. Show of the people. Our opinions, your opinions. Zay's grudges coming to the front.
Didn't anybody teach Zay at an early age that winning is hard?
Winning is hard.
Yes, Zay. Winning is hard.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Good conversations this morning. We'll get back into the Aaron Rodgers story as he had his first public comments on the Packers rift last night. And I got to give Kenny Mayne a lot of credit because Kenny Mayne is leaving ESPN after nearly three decades at that network. And Aaron Rodgers agreed to do the interview. It was really a tribute to Kenny Mayne. And when he first got on the interview, Kenny Mayne asked him, about the Packers situation, and Rodgers quipped, "I'm just here so I won't get fined." Took the Marshawn Lynch thing, and Mayne persisted on him, and he tried to say, "This isn't about me. I wanted to come on to say how much I've enjoyed watching you for years after years, and back in the Sports Center days, and Dan Patrick and Stuart Scott and all those guys."
And he kept going like the pro he is.
Yeah, he kept at him, and he said, Kenny Mayne actually, in his funny way that he would, said,
"Right."
If you wanted to do a tribute video to me, you could have just done that on your social media or something. We had you on here, an interview. I can't not get an answer on the Packers situation because it's the biggest story in the NFL, which makes it probably the biggest story in sports right now, is what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. And here's what he said. Here was Aaron Rodgers' answer to finally giving some thought on the Kenny Mayne question.
It's never been about, never been about the draft pick. Picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. A lot of fun to work together. I love coaching staff. Love my teammates. Love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. And a lot of this was put in motion last year, and the wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP and played the way I played last year. So this is just kind of, I think, the spill out of all that. But look, man, it is about the people, and that's the most important thing. Green Bay has always been about the people, from Curly Lambeau being owner and founder to the 60s with Lombardi and Bart Starr and all those incredible names, to the 90s teams with Coach Holmgren and Farvey and the Minister of Defense, to the run that we've been on. It's about the people.
All right. Well, so take from that what you will, that he's not a fan of the current front office, the current people in charge, because he knows everything he's saying is that I would argue that this is how the Packers are built and this is how they operate, and it's just the Packer way. And all of a sudden, even though Aaron Rodgers says he loves the Packer way, now he's saying, well, no, I don't like the Packer way.
You mentioned all those greats that have gone through the same kind of thing, when it was time for them to go and time for them to replace the different players in their organization. That's the way it's been going, and I just don't know where you go from here. They're wrong, unless you just need the general manager to be gone, like you got rid of the head coach who's now with the Dallas Cowboys. You helped get rid of a head coach, now you're looking for a general manager. You want it to fit your style. They made a mistake. Yeah, I don't. I'm more at fault with the Green Bay Packers for the mistake and the way they handled this whole Aaron Rodgers thing. Okay, now the mistake has been made. Aaron, now what are you going to do, my friend? Seriously, what are you going to do? You're just going to hold them for a hostage? They have to keep playing football. You can go on with life. You can go with your movie star girlfriend. You can go play for somebody else. But do you keep talking, or do you show up at camp and be a professional, or do you go somewhere else? Because they can't change what they did, right?
No. Well, and now it kind of feels like Aaron Rodgers is dug in, and
But what does that mean? Dug in.
I'll play the Aaron Rodgers side. When you drafted Jordan Love, you indicated exactly where we're going here. Let's also remember that the Packers could have accelerated some bonus money for Aaron Rodgers this year, but they didn't.
But he doesn't take a pay cut for anybody to make him any better, right?
Well, no, he has not taken a pay cut. I'm just saying, in the Packers as a front office could actually accelerate some money that is currently salary for Aaron Rodgers, make it a signing bonus, and it would free up cap space for them to do more free agency things, which they did not do, which is another indication that after this year, they're moving on. And it's just like Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, that after two full seasons of marinating, Jordan Love will be the quarterback, and that's just the Packer way. And Aaron Rodgers saying, okay, well, if we're doing that, well, let's just do it now. Because I don't want to, you know, I don't, the unceremonious dumping of this, I'm not in for. Let's, because he's on the philosophy that you should be building around me. I just showed you I'm the MVP of the league. Why are we not hitting the accelerator and going for it?
And but Aaron Rodgers is the guy that he loves, and he's a good kid and all that stuff. He knows he's not ready. He's got them by the nads.
Well, right. And that, so he's got his side, and philosophically he disagrees with their direction. And he clearly doesn't like the people that are in the front, the current general manager, Brian Gutekunst. And I just hear Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's hard to read much into what he just said as far as real practical things, but he clearly wants, if we're going here and you guys are beginning the exit plan and the exit strategy as you did with Favre to me, then let's just do this now.
That guy's not good enough.
No. Well, then that's on you.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that guy's not good enough to.
And then so Aaron Rodgers is trying to make his point that, hey, let's keep it about the people. That's my, because I think at the end of the day, and you know, when he said philosophy, can we hear the beginning of that, Zay, again? Zay, give me that again at the beginning. Listen at this very beginning, then we'll turn it off.
Okay.
When he says philosophy, doesn't he sound a little bit like Ricky Williams? When I hear a little bit of this, it sounds like Ricky. Because remember, he's doing this interview from Hawaii. He's in Hawaii with his Hollywood
group. Wasn't that dude playing a ukulele the other day?
Yes, he was seen on video playing the ukulele and singing with Shailene Woodley. You know, he's got a little Ricky to him. And here is, listen to him say philosophy, I think is the word I heard.
It's never been about, never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. A lot of fun to work together. I love the coaching staff, love my teammates, love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible. Incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy.
All right. Doesn't that sound a little bit like Ricky to you?
It did sound a little bit like Ricky.
Yeah. So that's what you're dealing with.
They're both goofy.
Yeah. You're dealing with a Ricky, but he's your quarterback and he's the MVP of the league. So I don't.
Yeah. If I'm his teammates, I'd be like, dude, quit going through all of this philosophizing and the culture and all this stuff. You've been treated pretty good in Green Bay. They made a mistake. Now we need you. You got a great contract. You're not taking less money. You're not Tom Brady to make things any better. I don't see you taking a pay cut to make our team better. They made some mistakes along the way. But you can't gather that respect back that you lost when they did something different. So suck it up and come back and play, or go somewhere else. Or go play the ukulele in Hawaii,
but I think
somewhere over the rainbow or something.
Just to be the devil's advocate, I agree with largely everything you're saying. But if... And Roger's point is, well, you didn't ask me to take a pay cut, and if you would just accelerate that money, you would have had more cap space to add pieces, and you didn't.
Once again, this mistake is done.
No, in his opinion, they're exacerbating the mistake because they're continuing with this plan, which is to move on from Aaron Rodgers.
See, I don't believe that. Now they just
he does.
Okay, he does, but I think not only does Aaron Rodgers understand that the kid that he wants to put his arms around isn't ready. But the organization understands we made a mistake there, too. That dude's not ready. He's not our guy right now.
Well, but he's going to be. That's what was the same plan with Brett Favre. And Brett Favre, it would have been unrealistic to believe that they were moving on from that Hall of Famer.
Hey, well, if Tippy Toes would have ran into the end zone.
True. Sure enough.
You know, from the 5-yard line twice.
Tippy Toes.
I mean, if he'd have gone on into the end zone like he used to, then we probably wouldn't even be here at this situation. You know, with him.
Hey, let's get to... the headlines, trending topics. We'll talk to Texas baseball head coach David Pierce at the bottom of this hour. And big stories involving him is the lead of the morning. Top Gun, Law and Equipment Rentals bring you the news. And yeah, Texas baseball, the lead story. 2 days after clinching their share of the Big 12 regular season title, they are the one seed in the tournament. Plenty of accolades for the Texas baseball team, second-ranked team in the country. Texas ace Ty Madden named Conference Pitcher of the Year yesterday. The junior from Cypress, 6-3, 2.55 his ERA and 13 starts. He's been great on that Friday night. He's the seventh Longhorn to earn the Big 12 Pitcher of the Year honors, but the first in a decade since Taylor Youngman back in 2011. David Pierce named the conference's Coach of the Year. His fellow coaches have voted him as the best in the Big 12 for the second time in 5 years. Saturday starter Tristan Stevens, along with second baseman Mitchell Daly and DH Ivan Melendez, Hernandez, named to the first team All Big 12. Third baseman Cam Williams, outfielder Mike Antico, named to the second. Texas is the top-seeded team in the Big 12 tournament in Oklahoma City, which begins today. Longhorns will see their first action tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock. They'll play the winner of today's West Virginia-Kansas game. 12th-ranked Texas softball team, meanwhile, have advanced to the Super Regional round of the NCAA tournament. They're going to open a best of three regional series at 5th-ranked Oklahoma State on Friday. Big announcement yesterday from the Austin FC, along with officials from the city of Austin. Q2 Stadium is going to operate at 100% capacity when Austin FC plays its first match at the new stadium on June 19th. It'll be at full capacity as well 3 days earlier when they open the facility to host the U.S. Women's National Team playing Nigeria in a friendly playoff. NBA basketball last night, first round action, a couple of blowouts. How about the Milwaukee Bucks? Remember game one of that series, Milwaukee and Miami, a back-and-forth overtime thriller. Not the case last night. This one was over early. Bucks outscored Miami 46-20 en route to a 132-98 destruction of the Heat. Also last night, Denver, even their first-round series with Portland, a game each. They beat the Blazers 128-109. Nikola Jokic had 38. Triple header of NBA action tonight, including the LA Clippers hosting the Dallas Mavericks. Mavericks already up 1-0 in that series. That is the final game of the three. Previous games have Brooklyn and Boston in game two. Lakers face Phoenix in a game two tonight as well. Major League Baseball last night, Rangers and Astros both off. Texas will open a series at Anaheim tonight against the Angels. Astros welcome the L.A. Dodgers to Minute Maid Park for a fun series down in Houston. Zach Greinke and Clayton Kershaw tonight. Round Rock, a 7-3 loser in Tacoma last night.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. It's time to get those spring projects done, Austin. Come to Top Gun this month to rent, buy, or repair the equipment you need to do it. TopGun.net, we'll shoot you straight.
You know, likeness and image, I'm really excited about this for players. You know, I for a long time, I believed in an education at these colleges, no matter what level it was. That's up to you, and you can do a lot with that education. If you go to school and go to class and do all those types of things, it doesn't guarantee you anything, but it gives you a little bit of a foot in the door. But a lot of guys are going to have to grow up in a hurry, too, to take care of their business. This is not going to be about playing, you know, some of you who play school and some of you who don't play school, but a lot of you just play sports. This is going to make sure that you have to take care of your business now, because you can't afford to miss a game because you didn't sign something right or you didn't do this or you took money here or there. You're going to have to trust people that take care of your money, but you're going to be responsible for your money. You're the ultimate one who's going to, and it doesn't matter. You didn't have to be a star. It's some guy that's going to get $12,000 or a young lady that's going to get $15,000 or $1,500 at an event. You have to take care of your business. It's going to be on you now. A lot of college players, you know, that we want to be treated like real adults. Well, when you start getting money and they want to know, wait a minute, did you sign up? How much money did you get from that? It's going to be important to take care of your business now, you know?
No, and there'll be all levels of it, and yeah, they're kind of forced into the business world.
Yes, they are.
to be their own small business.
That's right.
And follow the rules so they don't get themselves in trouble in their eligibility or
and
the school.
And their school, that's right.
Absolutely. And you know, we know there'll be folks pushing that envelope, but at the same time, the opportunity is there. I was thinking about, you know, name, image, and likeness, if the Texas House approves it, it'll go into effect September 1st of this year, where college athletes in the state of Texas can benefit off their name, image, and likeness and create money. You know, there's so many avenues, and this is where they can hire an agent who can help facilitate deals and help them with the business side of it, which I think is pretty cool. And, you know, Chris Del Conte said it to us last Friday. We played that audio that only 2% of their athletes, or 500 athletes at UT, only 2% will go pro.
That's right.
Well, then 98% can kind of try to capitalize on their name while they're here at a big university like Texas.
And prepare themselves for the future, business degrees or whatever degrees.
Yeah. Well, I mean, gosh, the Texas women's tennis team just won the national championship. The young lady, the freshman Lulu Sun, just, you know, won the clinching match.
Go back to her hometown?
Yeah, or here. Like, what if the tennis academy wants to bring her in as a special instructor and put her name on it, not UT, but put her name on it, and all of a sudden she can be teaching lessons at this academy this summer, and she can make money doing that on her name. And she just earned that name by winning a national championship for UT. You know, everybody goes to the quarterback and the football side, but there are other athletes who, you know, their chances of ever playing professional in their sport are very, very low, who can actually capitalize on their name while they're here. I think
whether it's in their neighborhood, in their city, I mean, it's,
again, most
I'll
of
just say good luck, coaches.
Well, but that's good luck. Yeah, but that's going to force the young person to understand the rules, follow the rules, but at the same time, they can put some money in their pocket.
Yes.
While they're in college playing their sport. I think that's it's always been the fair way to go. Do I think it's like a utopia? Do I think it's perfect? Do I think it's not going to come with some hassles? For sure it does. But it's better than the unfair side that it's been.
Where it just goes in one spot, yes.
Where one side gets to make all the money, and the others who are actually competing are not allowed to, and it's actually illegal for them to do anything to benefit individually for their name, image, or likeness. And I think it's high time that happened, and now it's happening in the state of Texas all around us.
Yeah, I like it. The fact that it's fair, and the fact that now you have to grow up, you know, you can't just be the knucklehead. Your knuckleheadness now, you've got to take care of your business, because it truly is your business now.
Yeah.
You're a business person now.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, in the bill that was filed by the Conroe, the representative from the Conroe area, Brandon Creighton, we'll have to get Brandon on the show to talk about the specifics of this as this moves forward, because now it goes to the House. But it will allow student-athletes to be compensated for – really what it does is lifts the ban on allowing student-athletes to be paid for outside parties. Which, you know, of course, that's going to lead to people talking about boosters and money and just little side deals. But it's all got to be on paper. It's all got to be, you know, filed and on the up and up, and they're going to have to pay taxes on it. You know, it's above the table and not under the table at this point, which is important. And students who accept the money, the current legislation would also allow them to hire an agent to represent their business affairs. Also will require the athletes to take financial literacy workshops during their first and third years while at school.
Yeah, and
so
dude,
learn to handle your money.
And let me tell you, this an agent costs money. There's another cost. I mean,
well, they're going to take their cut.
Yeah. They're going to get
They should. I mean, they get a commission for deals they cut for you.
Yes, they do. So does a lawyer. That's right.
Yeah.
And not everybody's a star. So you're unless Uncle Joe or your uncle or cousin is going to be working that deal.
Everybody predicts the gloom and the doom. I look at the good side of it. I mean, this young girl who just won the national title in tennis, wherever her hometown is, you don't think she can go back to her hometown and sign a million autographs as a national champion tennis player from, can't say University of Texas, but, you know, something. You know,
yeah, she can sit at the local, whether it's academy or a local sporting goods store and make some money.
Make 10 grand for the day to sign a bunch of autographs.
Hello.
And take pictures and... you know, that's,
see you at my tennis camp this summer.
I've never understood why that should be disallowed, but now it will be allowed. And I think it's a good thing, and it's the only way, because it's being forced upon these iceberg, slow-moving NCAA, and, you know, it's being, you know, and their hands being forced, too. You know, the NCAA's got a case in front of the Supreme Court, which will be decided this summer, where they're trying to argue that amateurism protects them from all of this. But
I don't think many
legal experts think they're going to win that.
No.
Because that ruling should come down at some point this summer. All right, we come back. It will be David Pierce. We'll dive into the nuts and bolts of this Texas baseball team. Regular season in the rear view and one mission accomplished. They are the regular season Big 12 champions, but more to come for this Texas team. We'll talk with David Pierce next. Yeah, D&E on this Tuesday morning. A lot of strong opinions on the name, image, and likeness debate, which we'll get back into. Also, the Aaron Rodgers comments. But without further ado, let's go right now to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and say congratulations to our next guest. He is the Big 12 Coach of the Year in baseball, as voted on by the league's coaches. His team also the regular season co-champs of the conference after the weekend with West Virginia. What a thrilling, dramatic Saturday it was. He is David Pierce. Coach, good morning and congratulations.
Good morning and thank you. It's really about a lot of guys doing a lot of great things on our team, and including our coaches who did just a heck of a job all year, and then some great leadership. And just, you know, when I listen and hear about a coach of the year, I just think of the team award, because without the team, there's no way that's going to happen for a coach. So just really proud of where we are, and we still have a lot of baseball in front of us.
You know what? But without the leadership of the head man, it would be different also. So you deserve everything that they talk about. I know you like to talk about your coaches and your players, but the leadership comes from somewhere. As good as your assistants are, the head coach, the guy who guides the ship, has to be pretty damn good. And you've shown that, Coach, over the last couple of years, how good you really are. And I truly have said this before. I don't think you get enough credit for being a fundamentally sound baseball manager. And that's important when you're trying to build a culture and a program. So you can talk about everybody else, but you deserve an awful lot of credit yourself. Don't take it.
Well, it's true. It really starts at the top down, and we know that. And when that leadership's not there, it's apparent as well. But I know you're proud of your group. Take us to the scene on Saturday, Skip. When you guys are up 10-1 on West Virginia, you're going to win that game comfortably. But it looks like TCU is going to go ahead and win as well. All of a sudden, K-State rallies for that 7-run ninth inning, and the guy Sabalos, who was at the middle of y'all's altercation with K-State earlier this year, which led to a couple of your players missing that game and the next game, he hits the walk-off homer to help you guys become the one seed and win the Big 12 championship. Walk us through that Saturday and the range of emotions over about an hour-long period.
Well, first of all, personally, I did not scoreboard watch at all, so I had no clue what was happening. I was in the third base box at the time, and we were up 10-1, and you hear the crowd roar. And I could kind of sense them looking at their phones kind of following the end of that game, but I knew nothing. And when they went crazy, I just looked at my team from third base and just said, all right, we're up by 9. Let's finish this thing and let's win it. And it was a pretty cool moment alone. But just watching my guys, we had guys coming out of the clubhouse into the dugout, so they were scoreboard watching. But it was really a cool deal. And then we finished the game, and Eric hit that triple, came over, and I said, "You're going to score right here. We're going to end this thing, win a championship." And that's what happened.
Very cool.
David, is it, this morning has been about relationships that we've been talking about a lot on this show this morning and over the last couple of days, as a matter of fact. Your relationship, baseball is kind of different, it seems. Football, you play it once a week. You only have so many games, but you play so many games in baseball and you play them through the – do you have time for relationships? I mean, really close relationships. Like a football coach can build a relationship during the course of the week. You got to play a couple games, then you got to play three on the weekends. How do you continue to build relationships through the year when you're playing so much?
That's a great question. And the way you put that is interesting because for us, position coaches tend to get a lot of one-on-one, group time with the players. And the way we structure it is I give them a lot of autonomy to do that. And then I do all the team stuff, all the team defense, and then any type of team meetings. So as a head coach, 18 to 22 year olds don't really want to hang out with you, just the way it is, right?
So yes,
they spend a lot of time with the assistant coaches, but at the same time, there's such a good respect from my perspective to them and their perspective back to me. And I look at that as the relationship that I'm trying to build with them. Is if I can give them respect and earn respect back from them, and they know that I have their back, and they know that I can help them outside of baseball, and they can come into my office anytime they need something, or, some will come in and just sit down and want to visit. But the way we play games, a lot of our downtime is after pregame in and out, where we've got about a 20-minute break in the dugout, and there's a lot of laughter there, really, guys popping each other. And I just like to sit back and listen and watch how they interact with each other, watch how they interact with the coaches, and then I'll catch a pitcher, let's say, for instance. I'll talk to Ty during that period after his start, or just different times. I try to catch guys and relate something that has happened in a game to how they could possibly use it in their everyday life, because there's so many parallels to baseball in life. And I think my relationship is at a different perspective or a different relationship than, say, the assistant coaches and the players. But there's just a lot of respect and a lot of things that are really cool happening with this group.
No doubt. And the group rewarded as well. You were the manager or coach of the year, but my Ty Madden, the pitcher of the year in the Big 12, rightfully so, for his just being a rock-solid Friday starter. Tristan Stevens, his first team, all Big 12. And I have to think, you know, we talked about this a lot during the year, Skip, that you go to bed, you know, feeling pretty good at night knowing you got those two guys on a Friday and a Saturday. And moving forward, you have those two guys in a series or a regional. Talk about the bulldog mentality of those two, your top two pitchers.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, you hand the ball to Ty Madden every Friday night, you know you have a chance to win. And then you have a guy that follows him that's a complete different type of pitcher, but he pounds the strike zone with four different pitches. You never know what's coming. He keeps hitters off balance, and he gets a lot of quick outs because he's always around the zone. And he doesn't get a lot of foul balls, which I think is interesting compared to Ty, because he's not a, you know, a big velocity guy. So he can go deep in games. And when you got one and two going deep in games, it really preserves your bullpen. But I knew Ty was going to win Big 12 pitcher, not Big 12 pitcher of the year. I knew he'd win all conference. It's really tough to get two starting pitchers in the Big 12 on the all conference team. And to get both of those guys is just such a tribute to their work and their performances.
You also, we've talked to you throughout the course of our visits during the week. And by the way, thanks for doing this on a Tuesday. I know you guys hope you're playing on Thursday. We'll go through your schedule coming up. But, you had the month or so of kind of preseason before Big 12 play where you're trying to sort out your lineup. And then you told us in early April, this is our lineup and we're going with it. And one of the guys that cracked that lineup was Mitchell Daly, the freshman. He also was on the first team all Big 12 along with Ivan Melendez and Tristan Stevens, a true freshman and a transfer in to make that first team. Congratulations to those two guys as well.
Well, there you have it. When you talk about opportunity, Mitch Daly was a possible redshirt kid. I knew he had skill. I just didn't know if he was ready mentally. He starts against Texas State in that first game over there and has like 8 assists and got a couple of hits and hadn't been out of the lineup since. And for a true freshman to be first team is pretty cool. Ivan Melendez, kind of the same situation early on, in and out of the lineup, never really comfortable until he settled in. And we just convinced him, you're one of the best hitters in the country. You're going to sit in the middle of the order. It doesn't matter if you go 0-for-4 yesterday, you're going to be back in there today, relax and go hit. And that's what he's done. And for a DH to be second in the voting for player of the year is also something that is pretty unusual.
You know, Coach, you have to, you know, your goal setting, and you guys have so many different goals. You've got at least four, I believe, to get to win the College World Series. But you've got one. One is in the bag. Now you've got to play in a tournament play. The philosophy about tournament play right now, is there just a culture that, no, we're going out and we're playing like we always play? This isn't the time to rest up and say we got one in the bag. We're still going to get the regional play and all that stuff. How do you view going into this kind of tournament now?
Well, we play for 5 championships, like you're mentioning. The regular season, the tournament, the regionals, supers, and then, of course, the national in Omaha. But the first two doesn't really change your positioning if you're in a good position with our resume. So the first one, unbelievable to go out and win the regular season because the game is based on longevity. You play a big league season of 162 games to get, you know, divisional winners and conference winners. Well, ours is no different. So, you know, you play through that season. So that's one. When you move in the tournament, it's a lot of the times it's about guys being hot or teams being hot, and there's teams in this league that aren't in the national tournament, so they're gonna go at this thing at all costs. We will go at it to win the tournament for sure, but we can be a little more cautious when it comes to stretching an arm, or when it comes to maybe going back to back days with an arm, where some teams may end their year. So right. That's the thing that you have to always balance. But the way I look at it, they label us opportunity to play for something, and the something is a championship, so that's how we'll approach it, and then move on to the regionals.
We know your first game will be tomorrow afternoon, Coach, when you play the winner of today's Kansas-West Virginia game. You just saw the Mountaineers, so you'll know them well if you get them. But how will you line up the pitching? I know I heard you in a previous conversation maybe talk about Ty on Thursday, and what does that mean for Wednesday? How do you see the pitching rotation into this weekend?
We've gone back and forth in tournaments, and I like starting with Ty in this tournament. He's one day early, but right at 100 pitches last week, he's fine. And so we're gonna move him to Wednesday. We'll go Tristan Thursday, and then you know, depending on where we are in the tournament, Pete will either pitch Friday or Saturday.
Okay, well, that's good to hear that Ty will get the start on Wednesday, so we'll have that for you tomorrow afternoon. Very good stuff. Coach, congratulations. As you said, 5 championships, 1 down, and now comes the Big 12, and then you're going to be hosting that regional. We'll learn that coming up next week. But best of luck in Oklahoma City, and we appreciate you jumping up a couple days on this and visiting with us.
Congratulations, Coach.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys. And Hook 'em Horns, we'll see you when we get back home.
All righty.
All right. Safe travels. Oklahoma City, the site of the Big 12 tournament. And they have fans. They'll have fans. It'll be a crowd. That's breaking news right there. Because I had heard, you know, Coach Pierce was on with Craig and Jeff last week, on Monday of last week, coming off of the TCU series. And they started talking about the Big 12 tournament. And he said, you know, maybe we'll go with someone else and use Ty on Thursday, because that would give him a full week off from his Thursday starting against West Virginia last week in that 5-4 loss. But they're going with Ty Madden on you know, a day shorter rest. He'll go, and then Tristan in game two. And that's an opportunity. That's where coaches say, look, let's get these first two with the
right
first team all Big 12 pitchers. Let's, because you're going to get Kansas or West Virginia, who's a bottom of the
let's get those
team
wins.
And remember, it's a double elimination tournament. So if you can win those first two, you have to believe you get that day off into Saturday. And all of a sudden, you've got a full pitching staff outside of your top two hurlers to try to get you a championship, and you've got to lose twice at that point. But I do like what he said about the strategy. You know, they don't have to stretch somebody out there. They can win a couple games in this tournament and not win it,
right,
and still be the number 3 seed nationally and be hosting, and their big picture goals
He'll
are
still
there.
He'll be very careful how he does this, yeah.
I mean, and guess what? You play 50-plus games to get to this point. They've given themselves an opportunity to have some flexibility over the next 5 days in Oklahoma City to be smart. Still try to win that championship, but don't overextend yourself.
Correct, yeah.
Some teams really have to play their way into a tournament, or Texas
Yeah, there'll
Tech,
be some desperate play teams.
Texas Tech would like to play their way into a host regional potentially. Like, if Texas Tech could win the whole thing in the Big 12, which is such a RPI-strong conference, they may play themselves into a top-8 national seed, that kind of stuff. Texas is not worrying about that right now. And by the way, while we're on college baseball, breaking news from yesterday that Tim Tadlock, the coach at Texas Tech, after being pursued aggressively by Texas A&M, signed a lifetime contract with Texas Tech.
Well, they can't afford to have two coaches leave on them. Big time. They can't.
No.
That wouldn't be good for their
Kirby Hoke
program.
Had late yesterday afternoon, 4 o'clock or yeah. so, and I was told he was talking to A&M. I mean, there was a chance, and A&M was coming to get him and made him their number one choice to replace Rob Childress, and a 7-year rolling lifetime contract. How do we get one of those? I'm in.
That's great.
Sign me up for that deal at Texas Tech. He's earned it, but Texas Tech will be maintaining their baseball coach. Texas A&M will have to look elsewhere for their next manager. We come back, it'll be your blitz. Oh, boy, it was a great one yesterday. Let's see if we can follow that up with
boy.
Back-to-back doozies. It's only as good as you make it. A little gossip in there, too. First, Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just the gossip, brought to you by Bud Lights, the world's favorite light beer. My favorite light beer has been for a long, long time. Bud Light opportunities aplenty with sunnier conditions coming here. There will be still some rain showers today, but boy, rest of the week into your Memorial Day weekend looking good. Be steamy, be warm, but that's just Bud Light opportunity. So whatever you're doing this Memorial Day, as we pay tribute to the men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our country, make sure, because I know you're going to be getting out, getting to the lakes and the coast and all your normal stuff, but do it with a nice cold Bud Light, and we certainly will too. Be smart and be safe, especially when you're traveling this weekend. Be smart.
Yeah, somebody asked me about Ricky Williams on the Specs text line, how often I have to run Ricky. Ricky Williams is the only player I've ever had to run steps. Ever. Ever.
He was late a lot?
All the time when he was a freshman. His first couple weeks.
He had to run the stadiums?
Yeah, he had to run the stadiums. We probably did 2 weeks of that. No other player have I ever had to make run steps. And it which meant I had to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning with him when he ran.
You didn't have to run, but you had to watch him run.
I had to sit there and watch him run all those stadium steps. And about day number three, I said, we need to go to Trudy's and have breakfast from this point on.
We'll tell John we did the steps. John McAdick was the coach at the time. Yeah. All right, LeBron James is in the news. LeBron James. Of course, his
dad is going to fall down.
Of course, his Lakers play Suns tonight.
Oh, my back.
Game two action. But, of course, there was some criticism that LeBron James was not punished for attending a party for his tequila company over the weekend. Of course, the NBA has a policy against going to public events like that.
Dude has tequila going now?
Yeah, he's got a tequila company. He had an event over the weekend that was really put on by his agent. And it was attended by massive celebrities, including Michael B. Jordan. Drake was there. But LeBron not punished. Of course, the NBA would not suspend LeBron James for the playoff games. Are you kidding me? But it turns out after an investigation, quote-unquote, everyone there was either vaccinated or tested negative before attending the event. Thank you, LeBron. Thank you, LeBron.
Tequila,
yeah, the mogul. Mogul, you gotta have a tequila if you're gonna be a mogul.
You drink two, and then you fall down.
Hey, how about this idiot? Lady who did have a job as a... What was her job? She was working as a legal litigation association assistant at a law firm.
Mm-hmm.
She's lost her job because she thought it would be a good idea to climb into a zoo in El Paso, climb into the monkey enclosure, and begin to feed the monkeys, the spider monkeys, flaming hot Cheetos.
It almost sounds a little funny, but...
Yeah, charges have been pressed by the zoo against the lady trespassing and then endangering an animal with flaming hot Cheetos.
Yeah, speaking of tequilas.
Yes. Spider monkeys can take your eyes out, right? They'll go after your nuts and everything.
They go for nuts,
your
man.
D's?
D's nut. They go for D's right away. They understand what it's all about to grab a hold of D's.
Right, what do you make of this kid in the state of Indiana before we get to your blitz? A 9-year-old kid in Indiana found an envelope under the floor mat of his family's SUV. They had just bought the vehicle recently. He found an envelope full of $5,000. Five G's.
What envelope?
Yeah, exactly. Hello, kid. What money? Of course, he gave it to his dad.
Yeah, good kid.
Who determined that when they had bought the SUV as a used vehicle, the previous owners had left the five G's under the floor mat.
Yeah,
I got that part. So they returned it to the previous owners.
What envelope?
Turns out the previous owners had lost it on a road trip in 2019, had no idea where it went. How dumb are they? They go on a trip, they save all their cash, and they hide it under the floor, and they can't find it. Do they have to, cut their trip short?
They're dumb enough for me to keep that money.
They did give the 9-year-old $1,000 for because they thought they had lost the money. They thought it was gone.
That's kind. That's a good move by that kid. Good move by that dad.
That's good.
There's a lot of you out there that wouldn't do that. You people.
Once you found that envelope, there's only one person in the world who knew that envelope existed.
There's E. What money, right? What money? You'd have turned that back.
Yes, at 9? Yeah, probably so. At 19, at 29, at 39, I'd give it back.
Yeah, I'd still give it back.
Let's go to your blitz.
Make somebody happy.
Let's go to the blitz.
Now, 10,000?
The Bucky and E blitz.
10,000,
you said? Brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck. The half under factory warranty in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, everybody hold their ears. First blitzer, you're up.
Boom, boom, shit.
Dude, that is really a bad sound. What's up?
¿Qué pasó, Toro?
What's up, man?
Y el Blanquito. Taco Tuesday, Toro. Today's going to be some nice fish tacos with some lime and salsa.
Yeah.
Toro.
Yeah.
Toro, so I went to go find my tickets. You know, I like soccer, man, right? Every now and then, right?
Yeah.
Resale, dude. $1,700. Are you kidding me, dude? Are you crazy?
Come on, man.
I've been going in there as a beer vendor now, dude. Así es, mi coronel.
You can't go in as a beer vendor. You can't just do that. Next blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, I'm all about the namesake image and likeness of the five freshman phenoms of the women's tennis team. Can you imagine Rapoli holding two balls with one
hand? Hey.
It's just a nasty, disgusting man.
Van Digger.
Next blitzer, you're up.
LeBron James is such a big old crybaby. This is the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah. What?
You know what today is? National Wine Day.
Perfect.
Hey, LeBron, you want some wine with your cheese? Aaron Rodgers?
How many times is he going to be on the ground tonight? Next Blitzer.
Whining.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Buggy D.
What's up? Little cat.
Hey, man. What's up? If I was lost in the woods, I'd find me some mushrooms, and I wouldn't care if it was hot or cold for 16 days.
You're not going to last that long, little cat. I know you.
It said the average person believes they could survive 16 days.
I'm going to say little cat.
In the wilderness.
48 hours. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, these nuts could survive 16 days in the wilderness.
Nah, I think we'd make it.
Yeah. Next Blitzer.
Longer than that.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, guys, go easy on that girl feeding those monkeys Cheetos. This is Dr. Orange Cocky.
That would happen if you ate those
fingers,
Cheetos,
huh?
And then played with it. Yeah.
All right. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Buck, worst pick ever. LeBron is greater than Jordan, or University of Texas could shoot for third place.
Ooh. Didn't like your takes.
He does not like my
takes.
Thinks
your takes are not hot.
Shut it down! Let's go!
Got a lot to do. Got a lot of work to do here. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Get it done. Right? Lots of work to be done.
By the way, some people criticizing LeBron. Of course, LeBron's taken a lot of criticism recently for his actions and antics, but he wouldn't admit whether he's vaccinated or not. And a lot of people in the black community frustrated that he won't just be an advocate for it because they're having a hard time getting the black community out vaccinated.
Just say it, whether you are or not.
But he won't.
It's interesting.
Come on, LeBron. You take stances on a lot of things. That might be a pretty important one, I would guess.
For sure.
LeBron James. LeBron James.
I got mine. Look, they're my...
I know.
I'm a little backs going on.
We'll be back. We roll on. It's Tuesday. Plenty of top stories, including the transfer portal and the mess it's making. We'll recap that one. Plus the name, image, and likeness coming on. Texas baseball. All types of accolades. We're busy on a Tuesday. Live, local, and digital. Streaming always on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.